Happy Sunday. Glad you ventured out in the cold this morning. And we're finishing up our What's in a Name series, where we've been talking about Isaiah 9, the names of God. And just this series and the series before, where we were talking about God and who He is, and hoping that we're just cementing and solidifying in our hearts kind of the character and the nature of God, so that when other people are saying, oh, God's like this or whatever, we can know from His word who He really is. Amen? So we've been reading about this in Isaiah 9, verses 2 and verse 6. We've been reading this prophecy, you know, 700 years before Jesus. And it says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Jesus is our light. For to us, a child has been born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and today, Prince of Peace. Oh, come on. And the word peace there is shalom. So Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace. So we're going to be looking at the word shalom. And so often we think of peace, we know peace when there isn't peace, right? We understand what it's good to define it by what it's not. And so anyone ever had lots of kids in the house? They had a youth lock-in this weekend here at COC, and they had over 35 kids here, teenagers, staying up all night, leaders and adults. Besides that, so I don't know how many, 39 altogether were here, and staying up all night or most of the night, I said, that is not peace. But that's what we think of as not peace, is like loudness, like loud music or dogs barking, or like, that's not peace. Well, that's not exactly what the word shalom, that kind of peace. So what ended up happening, I started out defining this word, and it was so rich and so good that kind of the message today is really just defining this word, shalom. And so I want that just to sink in our souls today, because peace isn't just no barking dogs. Peace just isn't no Avery and Aspen and their alter egos and Taylor and Eric and Andrew being up in our basement until 3 in the morning for nights on end. That's not quite the peace that we're talking about. We're talking about not just the absence of something, but the presence of something. Amen? The peace of God, the shalom of God, is something tangible. It's something real. It's not just the absence of war or the absence of conflict. Anyone ever have a fight with anyone before? You got a bickering with a sister, brother, dad, coworker, husband, yeah. It's not just the absence of that. While it does include that, that's not the bulk of what it means. That's not the essence of what shalom means. It isn't just the absence of troublemakers in your life. It's more than that. Shalom means primarily, this is kind of the primary definition. There's multiple definitions, and they're all real and they're all true, and we're going to read through a bunch of them today. But the primary definition, it means wholeness or completeness. Say wholeness. This wholeness, this idea of completeness, health, safety, harmony, and prosperity. When we use shalom as a greeting, we wish the other person holistic and complete well-being. In Israel today, when you greet someone or you say goodbye, you say shalom. You are literally saying, may you be full of well-being, or may health and prosperity be upon you. Isn't that a great greeting or a great goodbye? Now, I've heard tell that the Filipinos don't like us saying, see you later, because they take it literally to mean that we'll see you later. And they say, we didn't know that we were going to be seeing you later. And we say, no, it's just it's an idiom. It's a phrase. It just means goodbye. Doesn't actually mean I'm going to see you later. We don't have plans for this afternoon. But maybe a better goodbye would be shalom. I like that. When you're saying shalom to someone as a greeting, when they come in, hey, how's it going? Shalom. Or see you later, shalom. You're saying, may you be full of well-being, or may health and prosperity be upon you. Wouldn't that be a great turn of events in 2025 when everybody hates everybody and everybody's opinion is the best opinion in the world and everyone has no tolerance for anybody else because you might say something I don't like? Wouldn't that be just a great antidote to that, to be every time we're seeing someone and saying goodbye to say, I wish you to be full of well-being. I don't just tolerate you. I want your life to thrive. When you see you later, hey, go with, be thriving, shalom, the peace of God be upon you. I'm only just a little bit joking. I'm kind of being real, like serious. Like, I don't know that shalom will catch on, but like in countries today, that's a greeting. Shalom. May you be full of well-being. So we're going to look at some of the multiple definitions of shalom and kind of talk through that a little bit. And I want you just, as we're going through these definitions, I want you to think that that is available for you. So everything that we're putting up here today, all these verses, all these definitions, that is the shalom of God, the peace of God that we want to experience in our life. And so often we have this shallow definition of peace and we think it's just no kids screaming and no barking dogs and no neighbors giving me grief, right? It's peace. But there's such a greater richness. Because oftentimes in 2025, when people get that kind of peace, they still have no peace. Because there's no peace in here. Amen? You with me? So we're talking about an internal and an external peace. A peace of God that passes understanding. The shalom of God. The well-being of God. Okay? So let's look at the first definition. We already kind of looked at that. It means completeness or wholeness. And I've heard this for years, the definition that we heard, and that is nothing missing, nothing broken, right? That's kind of what shalom means, nothing missing, nothing broken. This definition from Study Light is talking about completeness or wholeness. And I was, I don't know, like I got it, but I didn't think I got it. I think I got it now. As we're talking through this, hopefully I can get you to get it, or maybe you guys already got it, and then you should have helped me get it. But anyways, let's get it together. Let's get at it. Completeness or wholeness. The Bible Project says, shalom refers to something that is complex. This was actually the definition that helped me out. This definition here. Shalom refers to something that is complex with lots of pieces that is in a state of completeness and wholeness. Something that is complex with lots of pieces that is in a state of wholeness and completeness. How many of you know that your life, your being, your essence has a lot of pieces to it, right? Remember when we were talking about the soul? It sounds simple, but man, there's a lot of parts to it. And your spirit, your soul, your body, you've got mind, you've got emotions, you've got will and intentions, you've got dreams, like, right? There is just lots of parts. And that's just talking about you, your physical body. You got trillions of little chunks of DNA coding around and doing things. You got, man, get me started on that. There is some phenomenal things happening in your body right now. Someday I'm going to play you the animation of your little, I think it's the RNA replicator factory. Like, holy macaroni. You couldn't design, I mean, I suppose you could if you could replicate the replicator, but it's incredible what your DNA is doing, and it analyzes the good parts, and it injects the bad parts, and it takes this, and it analyzes this, and it copies that, and it's astounding. There's a lot of parts to you. You may have said to your spouse, you're a complex person. Maybe you meant it well, maybe you didn't. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I do know that you are complex and you've got lots of pieces to your life. And do you guys know what it feels like when some of those pieces aren't in alignment? It feels like some of those pieces are missing. Some of those pieces are broken. Some of those pieces aren't fitting in the way that they should. It affects every other part of your life, doesn't it? When something's going on with you physically, it affects your mental state, doesn't it? It affects your spiritual state. When something's going on with you spiritually, you're under spiritual attack or you're not spending the time with the Lord. Like, your body suffers. Your mind suffers. When something's going on with you mentally, when you got to struggle mentally, your body's right. If you think about bad thoughts enough, your stomach is going to tell you about it, right? You're going to get a sour stomach just by what you think about. Start thinking about, no, don't do this. But should you start thinking about really nasty, terrible things that could happen in your life, things that you would want to worry about, your stomach is going to be like, hello, enough acid down here. I'm not feeling real well right now. Your physical body responds to what your mind is doing. Your spirit responds to what your soul is doing. All of it's interconnected. So there's all these complex pieces, and shalom is the unification of all of them. Nothing missing, nothing broken, this wholeness. It actually is used to refer to this, a rock wall. A rock wall that has all the rocks in place, and there's no gaps for there's no enemy coming through this rock wall, but you know what I mean. I tried to find a good, like a castle wall or something. I couldn't find a good picture, but there's no breaches in the wall. There's no rocks missing. There's no stones out of place. Everything's in alignment. They actually used that. It was a construction term in ancient Hebrew. That's what it meant. It meant that your fortress, your defense, your rock wall was all there. Some of you guys, your rock wall's not all there. I'm just saying. As a joke. But it's actually true. Some of our rock walls, we've got missing rocks, right? There's pieces that are out of alignment or they're just not there. We need God. We need the peace of God. We need the shalom of God to come and unify our hearts, to make our life to be what he wants it to be. Okay? The second definition, there's a few of these, so we're just going to kind of breeze through them. But the second definition is safety and soundness. Jesus could sleep in a storm because he was shalom. He knew he had safety. He knew that God, he was God, but he knew that there was nothing to fear in that moment because of the safety and security of the shalom of God. This last week is just cold, but if you guys haven't been around for a nasty blizzard, a blizzard. I mean, where you can't see in front of your face and there's snow as this deep, which there'll be, hopefully you'll get to experience that, where there's snow taller than your head and the wind is going 60 miles an hour. You can't stand up if you wanted to, but you're in the house and I don't know, maybe if the Filipinos aren't warm, but you know what I mean. You're relatively warm. You're warmer than you would be if you were outside. And so we like that at our house. We like where you can't go anywhere and you're stuck there. We feel shalom. You know what I mean? Stephen already referenced it. Jim was praying this morning. Thank you, God, that our vehicles start, that we have heat in our house, that we have electricity. Some people didn't have electricity for a while this weekend. Let's be thankful for that. Our water lines here used to freeze all the time. Jim called yesterday. Hey, is there anything we need to do at the church? Protect the water line? We're like, no, we should be good. We've kind of fixed some stuff a few years back, and we have water today. How many of you went? Don't raise your hand. How many of you went to the bathroom today? You drank coffee, right? We had water here. That's good. It's safety and soundness. That's shalom. When you feel that, that's shalom. It's the peace of God. It's that safety and security and soundness that it's going to be okay. There's a kind of an obscure verse in Job where it's talking about this. It says, you will know that your tent is shalom. They translate it secure, and nothing will be missing when you inspect your home. So just a random verse that we pulled out just to showcase. I don't know. Someone's, they're okay. If they're not, they'll let us know. Shalom. Oh, funny. So when Jesus is saying that he's the Prince of Shalom, he's Sar Shalom, he's the Prince of Shalom, he wants to be your safety and security. Amen? I was just reading a book talking about some peace things. I've got a quote by the guy, Dennis Clark. And he typically is not a confrontive guy at all or whatever. And the chapter was talking about kind of letting peace, letting the shalom of God kind of be your barometer, be your guide. And they were in a situation that was escalating. And they were either at a church or a center or maybe even in their own home, maybe a small group. I didn't read all of it. But the guy got just agitated and was just kind of like getting physical. And it was getting really intense. And so they kind of all were standing up and kind of closing in. So the guy runs in the kitchen, and maybe he was at a treatment center because he wanted to get out. It doesn't matter. But he grabs a butcher knife out of the drawer. And the only way out is where Dr. Clark was standing, Dennis was standing. in the way between this guy with a butcher knife and the door. And he runs up to him and he says, "You move or I'm going to cut you to pieces." And normally he's not confrontive. He's not that's not him at all. Should go ahead, do all you want to do. But in that moment, he said the peace of God, the shalom of God, overwhelmed him. And he thought, this is strange. Number one, I should be fearful because the guy's jabbing a butcher knife in my face. And number two, by my personality, I normally would get out of the way. No problem. I don't care. You can leave if you want to leave. But in the midst of all of it, he felt the Lord's telling him to stand his ground. The peace of God just kept getting, just welling up, blanketing him, shalom. And the guy said, "You move or I'm going to cut you to pieces." And he said, "No, I'm staying right here." And the guy's hands started shaking. He dropped his knife and dropped to his knees and started crying. He got to resolve the situation or whatever, but following peace. We've got some friends right now, pastor friends, who have been kind of our pastors. They're in India right now, and Dave and Jeannie. And one time, Dave was over there, and the city was burning. It was riots. It was an anti-military group had taken over the town, and like everyone was going to die. Like, if you're out, you're not surviving. And just the pastor there was, you know, they feel such a need to, like we would as well, to protect you. And so they're just saying, "We got to stay put. We can't go out." But they needed to get to their next town because they had meetings set up. And Dave's like, "Yeah, this is kind of hairy. Like this, they're flipping vehicles over and burning them and the bombs, and it's intense." So Dave's always so, whatever, whatever. And so he figures he better call home, but he didn't want to let his wife know that things are really hairy, but he wanted to talk to his wife in case that was the last time he ever did talk to her. So it was this tug of war. So he calls her, and she had just felt this word in her heart, and they say this all the time now. But in that moment, he explained, I think, maybe a little bit, but she just said, "Dave, follow peace. Follow peace." Can you hear Jeannie say that? Follow peace. She said that to us. She's given that as, I've heard her give that as counsel to her church people all the time. Follow peace. Like, lean in, pray, listen, but follow peace. Where's this supernatural? Like, your emotions might be scared, but where's peace pointing? When you pray about these different decisions, which one has the weight of the peace of God on it? Follow peace. Amen? So there you go. Safety and security in Jesus. The third definition is welfare, health, and prosperity. That's kind of what the greeting is talking about. How many of you guys have ever heard of a guy by the name of David and another guy by the name of Goliath? Two people in the Bible, right? They had a little conflict or whatever. But David, he was anointed king, but he was still just a shepherd, right? He's out and he's doing the sheep and he's wondering what's going on the battlefield. And you know, Goliath, the big giant pickle.
Who will fight me?
VeggieTales, anyone? No? A couple of you? So, if you're a VeggieTales fan, it was a big cucumber or whatever it was. And David, little asparagus David, he comes running up and he hears the giant going, who's, you know, calling curses on Israel and calling them names or whatever. But he goes out and, it has nothing to do with Shalom. I was just rambling. You know, if there's a fault, just be honest with it. So I'm just coming clean. That was a rambling story. This is what we're going to talk about. There's a verse here. We're talking about David, little asparagus David. So while he's shearing the sheep, watching the sheep, he's going to go check on his brothers. And then they got mad at him, and then he ended up fighting Goliath. But this is kind of right before that. As he gets up to the camp, this verse says in 1 Samuel 17:22, David left his supplies in the care of the quartermaster and ran to the battle line. When he arrived, he asked his brothers, "Shalom? How's your shalom? Shalom? Are you in welfare, health, and prosperity? How are you doing?" That's how shalom is used all the time in scriptures. Shalom? How are you? How's your welfare? How are you doing? And it's a little different than the American greeting. "Hey, how are you?" "I'm fine." "Okay, good." And then you go on your way. It means, how are you really doing? How is your health and welfare and prosperity? How is your soul? How are you doing? Shalom? How's your shalom? How's your peace? How's your well-being? maybe not as long a story on this one. Joseph Jacobson, remember Joseph in Egypt and Potiphar? And remember that guy ended up being second in command of Egypt? Joseph, Prince of Egypt, kind of, remember? No? Any? Okay. I'm just getting all these quizzical. What am I not saying right? Joseph, one of the sons of Israel, right? Tribe of? Coat of many collars. Okay. So he was there. The brothers sold him, you know, because they were mad at him. And he ended up in Egypt and second in command of Egypt. His brothers and his family come. And he recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. And so he has all this. That's a fun story to read. Go read Genesis this week. That's a fun story to read. And he just has a lot of, like, they tried to kill him, in all honesty. So he does have a lot of fun with them, but he loves them. And so here's kind of this. He said, you got to go and bring your father back with you and your youngest brother. And it was intense because, oh, they were so worried about him. So they come back, and here's the story where they come back in. When Joseph came home, they brought him in. This is in Genesis 43. They brought him the gift that they had carried into the house, and they bowed to the ground before him, and he asked, Shalom? Are you well? Shalom? How's your shalom? How is your peace? And he said, Shalom, your elderly father. How's your dad? Is Shalom? How's your elderly father that you told me about? Is he still alive? They answered, your servant, our father, is Shalom. He's still alive. And they knelt low and paid homage to him. That was their word that encapsulated, how are you doing? Is it well with you? It is well with my soul. I am Shalom. I am in Shalom. You get it? Not just the dogs aren't yipping and the kids aren't screaming. Not that kind of peace. I'm talking about I'm doing well. I'm thriving. I'm okay. My health is good. My soul is good. My thinking is good. I'm Shalom. All the complex pieces of my life are getting in alignment. I'm Shalom. And Jesus, in a 700-year prophecy before him, says that he's going to come as the Prince of Shalom, the ruler of Shalom, not just some Shalom. Jesus doesn't just show up with a little bit of Shalom. Maybe you can have some if you're lucky. He's the king, the prince, his royalty, his realm that he rules over is Shalom. Don't believe me? The kingdom of God is righteousness. Anyone know that verse? Peace and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Shalom. His kingdom is Shalom. He has a kingdom, an entire kingdom of peace for you. And he's the Prince of Peace. Amen? I think you're kind of with me. You're thawing out. So the next definition is the one that we actually, this is the lack of barking dogs, soldiers pointing guns at you, and a coworker that wants to see your bitter end. Right? It's the lack of that. It's peace, tranquility, contentment. We won't talk about that one much because everyone knows that definition of peace. But shalom is that, but so much more. It is also peace of friendships with one another, human beings. The Bible says this in Proverbs 16, verse 7. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make shalom with them. Causes their enemies to make shalom with them. He causes your enemies to make well-being with you, make peace with you, make thriving with you. Interesting. Not just quiet down and stop pointing guns at you, but more than that, shalom with you. See, if we hadn't known the richness of this word, you've seen that verse before, but we think it just means to stop fighting. That's not what it means. Guys, that's not what it means. It means so much more than that. It means them now actively working for your behalf. What? God is so good. And how many of us, again, anyone ever been in conflict before? Here's this promise from the Prince of Peace. That if our ways are pleasing to him, see, that's the kicker. Yeah, that's the... Anyway, everyone likes the second part of the verse. Oh, God's going to make my enemies be at peace with me. But your ways have to be pleasing to him. Here's the kicker. Jesus came in and presented all these other ways to live that are going to be filled with shalom in the Sermon on the Mount, and it's an upside-down kingdom. And it's ways of living that are contrary to what our emotions want to do and contrary to what our head says. If your enemy says, or if someone demands that you go with them a mile, go 2 miles. Slaps your one cheek, turn your other cheek. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. Right? Jesus tells you all these kind of things. See, if your ways are pleasing to him, if you follow those ways, all of a sudden, God shows up and starts doing supernatural things. And I can attest to you, I can give you personal accounting in our lives of how God has made that verse come true in our lives. Where I wanted to scream, I wanted to put a rant on Facebook, I wanted to go puncture someone's tires or TP their house or I don't know what you do, steal their mascot or whatever, I don't know, I don't even know. But I didn't. And I wanted my ways to be pleasing to the Lord, and I would pray for people and I would serve people. Don't look at me, because I did it with a bad attitude. Okay? Don't look at me like some spiritual giant, because I'm not. I'm just saying I wanted to follow the ways of the Lord. And I've watched God time after time do something that I can't do. And I keep going in the middle of it. The way of Jesus, I don't mean this to be sacrilegious, the way of Jesus seems stupid. If we're going to be honest, to our humanity, it seems foolishness. Paul said it. He said, man, the way of the cross seems like foolishness. It seems like foolishness. It seems silly that you want to be humble. But if you walk in humility, all of a sudden God starts exalting you. All of a sudden he makes your enemies be at peace with you. Now, we're dealing with humanity. Sometimes human people are really human. There's a lot of humanity in there. So God's doing his work, but he does supernatural things. So we can't promise that if you just be nice for a day that all your enemies are going to come and give you gifts. That's not what we're saying. But we're saying that God does honor his word. And not only, I will say this, I've had people that I would count are like pitted against me. And as I've walked in the ways of the Lord, I've been humble and kept my mouth shut, tried to keep my heart pure, pray for them, serve them. I've watched things turn around and watched them be supporters and work for my good. How does that happen? It's bizarre. But your ways got to be pleasing to the Lord. That's the tricky part. You got to do the things that you don't want to do, that your flesh doesn't want to do. Your flesh just wants to get even. But God says there's this shalom that can happen between you and people. The Bible Project says, in the book of Proverbs, to reconcile and heal broken relationships is to bring shalom. When rival kingdoms make shalom in the Bible, it doesn't just mean that they stop fighting. It also means that they start working together for each other's benefits, just what we were talking about. In this state of shalom is what Israel's kings were supposed to cultivate, and it rarely happened. So the prophet Isaiah looked forward to a future king, a prince of shalom. His reign would bring shalom with no end. A time when God would make a covenant of shalom with his people, make right all wrongs, and heal all that has been broken. Doesn't that sound good? But God can do that. God can bring, as our ways are pleasing to him, God can bring peace and shalom. Not just absence of conflict, but a beneficial, you be blessed. No, you be blessed. No, you be blessed. No, you be blessed. Shalom, shalom, shalom. The peace of God, this presence of God's rule and reign working for our benefit in our life, the peace of God. And the last one on the list of definitions is you can have peace and friendship with humans, and shalom also means peace with God. Shalom also means peace with God. There's a Numbers 6, 23 through 26, this challenge, we've read this in church before, but God is saying, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, all this was worked into their language. It was worked into their daily routine. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you, grace, and give you shalom. And Paul, when you see Paul closing his greetings or opening his greetings, grace and peace, grace and peace. Turn his face towards you, grace, give you peace, shalom. Grace and peace, shalom. Shalom of God, shalom to you. That's good stuff. And that was God telling the head priest of Israel, it was a religious culture, this is how you're to greet people. This is how you're to bless people. This is what you're supposed to say. How does that line up with how we talk about people today? Gulp. Just let that sink in for a second. How does that line up with how we talk about people today? Sometimes that's not so good. So Jesus, hold on. Let me read this verse. Romans 5, 1 through 2. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have shalom. We have peace with God. In the Greek, it's eirene, but it's the Greek translation of shalom. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Hold on a second. Turn his face towards you. May his peace be upon you. We see it right here, New Testament, Romans 5. We've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Jesus is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace, the ruler of peace in our life. Amen? Yes. Couple more verses. Luke 2, 13 through 14. Suddenly, a company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, wait a minute, this isn't Christmas time. But this is the story. This is the announcement of Jesus coming into the world, the Prince of Peace. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, shalom on those to whom is charis, his grace. It's translated here favor, but on whom his grace rests. Grace and peace. We have access through Jesus to this face of God towards us and this peace of God upon us. This well-being, this prosperity, this safety and security, this wholeness. Wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Wholeness. Wholeness. Not just absence of conflict. Because when the conflict goes away and there's peace, all of a sudden there's still brokenness in our life. There's still missing rocks in our wall. There's still complex pieces that are out of alignment. And God, Jesus, wants to get our lives aligned on him so that we can experience the full shalom of God. That's good. Ephesians 2, 13 and 14 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near. There's shalom between God and man. For he himself is our peace, who made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, dividing the wall of hostility. Here's the guy that I was talking about that stood in the way of the guy with the knife. He says this, when we first turn from our sin and receive Jesus in our heart, when we come to Christ, when we say yes to Jesus, we connect with the river of peace. The Lord begins the work of salvation in us. Then the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace brings order into the chaos of our life. Every area where Jesus establishes his lordship, his peace, listen to this, guys. His peace replaces our disorder, fear, our anger, our disappointment, our anxiety, our lawlessness, and disharmony with God. But the key is getting that in alignment, surrendering to Jesus, and turning over those areas of our life to the Prince of Peace. He's the ruler of peace. He doesn't just have a little bit of peace to give you. His kingdom is his entirety. He's the Prince of Peace. He's all peace. He's all shalom. He's all well-being. He's all safety. He's all security. He's all hope. He's all goodness for you, shalom. He wants you to walk in that, to live in that. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you. This is Jesus talking as he's about to leave the world. My peace I give you. My shalom I give you. I don't give as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. So one more time, let's look through this list. What is shalom? It's this completeness, this wholeness, it's safety, it's soundness. Shalom to you, church. It's welfare, health, and prosperity. Shalom. It's peace and quiet and tranquility and contentment for your Sunday afternoon nap. Shalom. It's peace and friendship with humanity and with God. It's this nothing missing, nothing broken. All the rocks are in your wall and there's no breaches. You're safe and secure. You're whole. Your life is prospering. Shalom. It's the shalom of God. And I want you to see something else as we finish up here. I found this very interesting. So this is the list that we've gone through in the last 5 weeks. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So we started with Wonderful. And I've went over, this was my revelation about Wonderful, that it's not just Wonderful. Oh, that hot dish is wonderful. Oh, Dave, your shirt is wonderful. It is, by the way. But that's not what Wonderful means. The Hebrew Wonderful means wonderful. He's wonderful. Right? I said it this morning. This isn't the first time you heard it. He shall be called his name, who he is, what he does, his name, so much so that his name is wonderful. And what's our response at wonderful? That's our response at wonderful. We go, oh, and we see he's my counselor. He's going to come and talk me through the issues of life. Well, that's good that he can talk me through it and give me counsel, but he's also the mighty God that is more powerful than any other creature on earth. He's more powerful than any other force. He's more powerful than any demon. He's Jesus, who is God. Well, that's good for today, but what about tomorrow? He's everlasting Father. The quality and quantity of his fatherly character traits toward me, his compassion, his steadfastness, his words of encouragement to me, his vision for me, his character traits, they go on through eternity. He's never going to not be that for me. And then the last one, he's the Prince of Peace. What does peace sound like? So look at that. We start with, he is wonderful. And all this God shows up. And at the very end, we go, the names of God is the breath of God. How cool is that? Last verse, we're done for today. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, Paul is closing out this letter, and he says, now may the Lord of Shalom himself give you his shalom at all times, and in some situations on Tuesdays. That's not his declaration. That's not his prayer. He says, give you his shalom at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. What a shalom. What a way to end a letter. And let's let that be our hearts for one another. Shalom. Shalom. You have my permission, as funny as it sounds, as you're leaving today, giving people hugs. Hey, shalom, man. Just try it. Practice your Hebrew. And it's good. Bless people. Bless one another. Bless them. Shalom. Keep your peace. It's not just the absence of conflict. It's the presence of the King of Peace. Amen? Amen. That's good stuff. That's good. That's who he is. That's the prophecy of Jesus' names. That's who he is. Gives me counsel. He's strong. And he's everlasting. He's peace. Amen. It's a lifestyle. As often as you breathe, these names are true for God in your life. Every time you breathe in and breathe out, that list of names of who God is true. Let's just surrender our hearts for that and just invite that. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all these names of Jesus that we got to learn about, and that you are that shalom of God, that peace of God. Lord, when our hearts are quaking, when our soul feels fractured, when our mind is racing, you are shalom. And we invite the King of Shalom, the Prince of Peace, into our lives this morning, God. And I just pray that you would let your peace settle upon our hearts today. I pray for everyone in this congregation to experience a greater measure of shalom this week as we go about our business. And we just thank you that you're going to show up in ways that are unprecedented. In Jesus' name, amen.